Father, we're grateful again tonight, Lord, for your love today. We thank you for the good service we had this morning. We thank you for our fathers tonight and today in our church. And God, I pray you continue to bless them and their lives. Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we open your word tonight, Lord, that you might meet with us. I pray the Spirit of God might be our teacher. Lord, as we focus upon this thought tonight about you and how we may know you. And God, I pray, Lord, the word of God would, by the Spirit of God, Lord, reveal to us and give us as assurance even the last days that we're living now upon this earth, God, that you're still in control, and God, that you love us and you care about us, and God, you're going to do everything you can to help us as we journey this journey of life until you call us home individually or you call the church home. Lord, bless your people tonight, Lord. Help this time not be wasted, but while they're in your house, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 1. Exodus 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children, and God's given this information to Moses to say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I do swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. And we'll see here as God is speaking to Moses and speaking to the children of Israel. We see here the promises he's going to fulfill. He's going to deliver them from slavery. Not only that, we also see he's going to become their God. He's going to become real to them. He is accepting them as his people. We also see here that in verses 6 through 8, God says to Moses, you tell the people that I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to bring these people out. Okay? I will release them. I will rid them. I will free them, if you please, or release them. I will redeem them. You know, this is the promise of God to the children of Israel. And we see also, he says, I will bring you into the land of Canaan. I will give it to you. Now, this is literally a picture, if you please, of salvation for them. Just like God himself has delivered us, amen? He has redeemed us. He has delivered us. He has accepted us. He has also become a God to us and leading us in our life as we go through this journey here on this earth. So we see here, God has promised to do this to them, just like God has promised to save us. I'm glad that he's promised to do that. Not only has he promised to do it, he has done it. He has done it if we're born again children of God. Now, the most wonderful fact in the world is that men may know God personally. Yes, amen. The most important fact that you know God, if you know God tonight, you know him personally. And preachers have been teaching on Wednesday night how almighty God is and how independent he is of anybody, of anything. But yet God has given us the opportunity to discover him and to know him and to learn about him. Sad it is today, though, that this generation we live in today, we all have, if not careful, have purposed ourselves from this opportunity. In other words, we don't want to know God because of the material things in this world, because we're caught up in the life that we're living, and therefore we don't want really to discover the fact of God and who he is and what he wants to do for us in this world. We see here, the search for God is far and away the most worthy and profitable adventure and where man can take. You and I will learn more and profit more and be a better person if we will discover who God is more than we ever have. Listen, if we live to be 100 years old, we'll never know all we can know about God. Because God is so far above us, as preachers said, we can't know all about Him. We can't know all about Him. But we are to be purposing in our heart to try to get acquainted with Him more than we ever have every day. Because there's not a day in my life, there's probably not a day in your life, that you don't question some things maybe God is allowing in your life, or something that's happening in your life somehow, and say, God, what can I do with this? Lord, how am I going to handle this in my life? And I'm thankful tonight to know that we have God to call upon in every situation that we do. The purpose of Jesus coming into this world was to introduce man to God. He was a God-man. It's through Jesus Christ that you and I can know God. Amen? That's the only way. We also see Jesus challenges us to serve. He challenged us to love and to trust Him while He was here. He challenged us here. Every deed that Jesus did while He was here on this earth, He performed for the glory of His Father who was in heaven. Everything He did, He wanted to praise Him. He wanted to glorify Him in every aspect of life that He did. We see, how may I know there is a God? If someone was to ask you, if you were to go to a door, knock on a door, and that person comes to the door, and you told them who you were and all you were, where you're from and all that, if that person was to ask you, how do you know there is a God? What would you say? How would you answer that question? You say, well, Jesus lives in my heart. I know there's a God. Well, that may be fine for you, but how about that person that's asked that question? They're going to want to know more than just that. More than just that, you see, whenever they ask that question. Let us keep in mind that God Himself is not an intangible something void of personality and understanding. He wants us to understand Him. He wants us to know Him personally. We see here tonight, as we look at this, He is a living being, folks. He's a living person. He is wise. He's powerful. He's always pleading for mankind, no matter who they are, to reach out by faith and accept Him as their personal Savior. He's always doing that because He loves us. He loves everybody. I'm glad tonight to know that, aren't you? There's a yearning in the heart of all men, I believe, for the knowledge of one who is God. There's a yearning. Oh yeah, I run into people, and you do too, that say they're atheists, but I don't really believe they're really the true atheists. I believe everybody has a yearning in their heart for that one that is perfect, that one is all-powerful. Every creature was created for its own place, amen? Everybody, everything. The birds are created for the air. The fish were created for the sea. We see beasts were created for the forest. However, mankind, you and I, were created a spiritual being, and we are to live in fellowship with God. That's why He's put us here, that we might fellowship with Him. And the only way we can fellowship with Him is, first of all, to come to know Him as our Savior. And once we do that, then we're on the right way. So, out of the realm of life, like a fish out of the water, a bird out of the cage, spiritually confused, and up in the air. When God finds us, we at that moment begin to live. I'm so glad, you know, I wasn't searching for God, I don't know about you, but He was searching for me. He found me one day, and I thank God He did. And since that day, He's given me eternal life. He's given me something that I long for. For in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. So we see, how may I know there is a God? Job put it this way, whom to know aright is life eternal. If we know Jesus Christ, if we know God, we know we have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. How may I know there is a God? I said, first of all, to know something sometimes is to see it. To see it. Sometimes it's to read about it. But I want us to know tonight that I know, first of all, I have never seen God and neither have you. I can't see God with these natural eyes. If I would, I'd go blind. But I want us tonight to look at these things about seeing God. First of all, how may I know there is a God? I see God, and you see God if you know Christ as your Savior. I see God in the miracle of creation. How in the world can anybody in this world look at the vast universe that we have to live in and not know there's something behind it more than mankind? The Bible tells us in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. That's God. That's all we can say. That's God. I go out in the morning, I look at the trees, they're green and pretty. The grass is green and pretty now. Everything is so beautiful now. And we see it's all because of God. God sends the rain. God sends the sunshine. He sends the warm air, the warm weather, and all this that calls us to have the opportunity to live in such a beautiful place. And it's all because of Him. I know there's a God because of the miracle of creation. Creation, this world could not just happen because it was created. It had a designer. The most significant statement of creation is found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's that concern? That settles it. God created the heavens and the earth. And I can see God. You can see God. No matter who you go outside of this building tonight, you can see the hand of God. Therefore, if I know there is a God because of creation. This world didn't just get here by itself. Someone had to design it. Someone had to make it. And I know it was God. The explanation of creation was good for others, and it ought to be good for us. Amen? We see rulers like Solomon and Constantine was people that believed in creation. We see also English leaders such as Livingston. He believed in creation, that God was the creator. American greats like Washington and Lincoln, they believed in God the creator. Men in the financial field like John D. Rockefeller, he believed in a God of creator, the creator of God. We also see great reformers like Luther and John Wesley. They believed in creation. They believed in creation. We also see that military leaders like MacArthur and Eisenhower, they all believed in God, the creator of the world, the creator of the world. How may I know there's a God? I know there's a God because, first of all, I see God in the miracle of creation. He created everything. Even you, even me, He created everything, and I know there is a God. Great men, rich, poor, or middle class, it doesn't matter. They find their hearts to believe without understanding all these details. These men believe that. I believe it. You believe it. It's only reasonable as we tell us that the wonders of the universe could not possibly just happen. They had to be a designer. Somebody had to do it, and God did it. Amen? I know there's a God because of the miracle of creation. The miracle of creation. Number two, I also know there's a God because I see Him in the pages of history. I see God in the pages of history. History reveals to us there is a God. Now, the record of man is bound with the record of God, inseparable. God and man were created. God created man to be with Him. We're inseparable. Therefore, we find in the pages of history, from the beginning of man's existence, his behavior has been affected by his attitude towards God. Always has been, always will be. That's why men's attitudes these days are out of this world, so to speak, because they don't believe in God. They don't trust God. They don't know God, you see. The history of mankind has been the record of man's disobedience or obedience to God. The history of mankind. Man has obeyed God or they have disobeyed God. And we find that in history. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is a nation whose God is who? The Lord. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. So we see, I know there's a God because of I see Him in the pages of history. I see Him in the miracle of creation. I see Him there. History has witnessed the rise and the fall of more than 20 distinct civilizations, history has. We also see as long as the heart of a nation is turned towards God, what do? They prosper. They prosper. But when their eyes are turned by doubt, pleasures and pride and greed, we see gain speed every passing decade of godlessness. And that's where we are today, folks, godlessness. So we see, how may I know there's a God? I can see God in creation. I can see God in the pages of history. Number three, I can see Him in the transformed lives of men. I can look across this audience tonight, and there's no doubt there's a God. Because probably every one of you here tonight have been born again. You're a child of God. And you wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for God, would you? You don't know where you'd be. Probably some of us might not be alive. But because you are alive, and because you believe in God, and you trust Him as your Savior, He's transformed your life, And now you have a desire to live with Him and serve Him. And that's why you're here tonight. You know, a lot of people don't go to church on Sunday night. Let's go on Wednesday night, you know. But God's people recognize what God has done for you. He's transformed you. He's given you life eternal. He's given you a new and living way. He's given you abundant life. And therefore, you and I want to be in God's house when the doors are open. We want to hear from God, don't we? Therefore, we know there is a God because He has transformed life. We see in the Old Testament, we see Christ in God creating man. But we see in the New Testament, we see God in Christ recreating man. He's recreating man. He's making us anew, afresh, someone different, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. I know there's a God. I know there's a God. I believe in Him because of the transformed lives of mankind. He's transformed my life. He's transformed your life. There's no greater proof of the existence of God than the witness of people in this room right here tonight. There's no greater witness of God being God because of what He's done for every one of us, you know. Thank God for who He is. History brings before us a great number of men who have experienced the transforming life of Almighty God. History brings us a lot of men. We think of, first of all, Saul, who was Paul on the road to Damascus with letters in his hand to find out Christians and try to have them killed. But you know what happened? You know the story. On the road to Damascus, God intervened in his life. God struck him down. God transformed his life there on the road to Damascus. I don't know what road you were on. I know what road I was on. But God intervened in my life and transformed my life on that road. We're all on a road. We're on a journey, aren't we? That's what life is. It's a trip. And we see here that Paul, he was changed. He was a changed individual. He was a new creature and a transformed personality because of God. So we see also not only Paul, but Peter, the fisherman, he was transformed to a disciple. God changed his life. He saved him and called him out to follow him. And Peter followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He transformed his life. We also see Livingston. He was an explorer. God transformed him, and he became a promoter of Christianity. Livingston did. We look at D.L. Moody. He was a shoe salesman. What happened to him? God transformed him life, and what did he become? A great evangelist, did he not? He traveled all over the world, preached the gospel, and hundreds and thousands of people were saved because of his transformed life. Folks, that's evidence there's a God. There's evidence there is a God. And that's the God that we believe in, amen? That's the God we believe in. Look at Billy Sunday, the great ball player. A great ball player, but what happened? God transformed his life, and he became the greatest revivalist of modern times. B.L. Sunday. And the list goes on and on and on of people that God has transformed their life. But you know, the most important transformation in life was when God transformed your life. Your life and my life and give us life worth living for. I know there's a God. I see Him in the transformed life of men. I see Him in creation. I see Him in the pages of history. And also I see Him in the consciousness of man. I see Him working in the consciousness of men. Wherever you find human beings, you discover a consciousness of God deep in their thoughts. Deep in their thoughts. They may put on a front, and a lot of people do. But down deep in their heart, they're conscious of the fact there is a God. There's someone that's greater than them. Where did this sense of God come from? Where did it come from? The consciousness of God is universal. I believe that. And it's just as profound, if not more, but educated. And even heathen people, you see, man has faith in perfection. Man has faith in perfection. Deep in the heart of every man is the belief that somewhere there is a perfect being. There is someone that is perfect. It's in the heart of every man. We also see that man in his own way is trying to make contact with that perfect creature somehow. He's trying to seek and find that individual, who it may be. We also see no human ever lived a life apart from sin except the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see that man's consciousness, his consciousness of his imperfections. You know, whenever you get to the point of accountability, when you get to the point that you realize that, hey, I've done wrong, or I do wrong, that's what we're talking about here. Man is born with a feeling of guilt before a righteous God. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And until we can get to that point in our life, we'll never understand our need for Christ in our life. We have to get to that point. The first law of nature is not towards perfection, but towards imperfection. It's towards imperfection. So we see here, how may I know there is a God? We see here, the sense of guilt can do one of two things to a heart of a life in an individual. It can turn his face towards God, or it can cause him to despair of any improvement in his own strength. In other words, here, accept Christ as a Savior, or we are going his own way. That way, when guilt comes in. So we see, how may I know there's a God? I see God in the miracle of creation. I see God in the pages of history. I see God in the transformation of life. And I see God in the consciousness of men. I know there's a God, folks. You know there's a God in heaven. Amen? And we can see God these ways. So, if anybody ever asks you, have you ever seen God? You say, yes, I've seen him in the miracle of creation, okay? I've seen him in the transformation of lives of men. We haven't seen God himself, but we've seen the results of God and what God can do and God will do in the lives of all mankind. And last but not least, also see that I see God in answered prayer. I thank God that he answers prayer. James, and we find in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. Much. I'm so glad tonight to know that saints and sinners, in our times of insufficiency, we can call out unto the Lord, and we can find there he's ready to help us, give us strength, and help us when we're helpless. He's always there. I know there's times in our life, my wife and myself, and your lives too. You know, who can we go to but to the Lord? Like the old song we sing sometimes. Where can I go but to the Lord? Aren't you glad you know the Lord tonight? Yeah. Aren't you glad tonight you know that you can always go to him and call out your petitions to him, your desires, your heartaches, your burdens, and know that because God lives, you can live also, and he's going to help you. He's going to help you in every situation. He really will. We see here, Jesus prayed, and strength was given to go to the cross, and he became the Savior of the world. He prayed to the Father, didn't he? Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He prayed. He prayed to the Father. But yet, God saw fit to let him go to the cross, and God the Father gave him strength to go to the cross because he prayed. He prayed. There's power in prayer, folks. There's power in prayer. Prayer changes people. It changes people. It really does. We see he prayed in the tomb of Lazarus. What happened? The dead man was resurrected. I know there's a God. I see him in answer prayer. I see him in answer prayer. I see him in answer prayer this past week, and you probably have too, in your own life. God answering your prayers. Therefore, if you know there is a God, because he's answered prayers. We also see the disciples prayed on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 were added to the church because of their prayer. See, listen, folks, that's God. That's God. It has nothing to do with those that prayed. It was God. That song y'all sang this morning, Only God, that was the name of the title of it, Only God. Well, only God can do those kind of things that we're talking about tonight, folks. And I'm glad tonight that I live in a time, I live in this world I live in, but I'm more grateful tonight to know that I know who God is. I know him. I don't know him like I want to know him, but I know him. And it's my prayer that I want to discover him more and more every day of my life. The only way I can do that is stay in his word and read and study his word and seek his face every day. The church prayed, and Peter was delivered from the prison. Why? Because they prayed. Because there was a God. There was a God who heard their prayers, and God did a miraculous thing in their lives, and it was evidence. I'm sure everyone in this room tonight could give evidence of God answering prayer for you, probably this past week. And because of that, folks, listen. You know there's a God. You know there's a God in heaven that cares about you, cares about every need you have. The church prayed. God helps people in all kinds of ways. It helps people in spiritual matters too. George Mueller had many orphanages, had over 2,000 children in orphanages. And no doubt, he knew there was a God, because many times he prayed because there wasn't enough food to feed those kids. And miraculously, God in heaven brought the food to them. He provided their needs, you see, because he believed in God. See, I know there's a God because God answers prayer, folks. He answers prayer. Every day of our life, we see this. Also, last but not least, I know there's a God. How may I know there's a God? I see God in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of John. St. John. I know there's a God because I see God in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3. I know there's a God because I see God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, he bore the image of the Father. John 3, look at verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Notice verse 18. He that believeth on him, that is God, on his Son, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I see God in Jesus Christ. God in Jesus Christ. God is eternal. Jesus is eternal. We see here, he marches through the pages of history, folks. He marches through the pages of history. There we can know there is a God. If someone's asked you tonight, how do you know there is a God? How do you know there is a God, teenager? You're out of school now. You're going to be meeting people that you normally don't meet. But when you go back to school, if somebody at school has asked you, how do you know there's a God? What kind of answer are you going to give them? What kind of answer would you give them? People are searching today. You know that? People are hungry today. People have heartaches and burdens and problems they don't know how to handle. And they're seeking someone to help them. And I want to be that one that God can use to help somebody else. Somehow. And if I can point them to a God that I know that loves them also, that's my first step in helping them. Point them to the God. I can let them know that I know there's a God because I see God in a miracle creation. I see God in the pages of history. I see God in the transformation of lives of mankind. I see God in the consciousness of men. I see God in the answered prayers. And I see God also in Jesus Christ. How may I know there's a God? I know there's a God because of these things we've talked about tonight. Folks, we all can know God. We know we're saved, but the fact is, other people need to know too. Other people need to know too. And we have the answers to tell them. That's what we need to be seeking. How can I convince somebody else? How can I not convince, but how can I show from the Word of God somebody else, there is a real God. There is a God in heaven that cares about them. I know and you know, if you go visiting any and all, that it's not about us. We can't convince people of anything. But it takes the Word of God. The Word of God to convince people. You and I can walk out of this building tonight, we'll go into a world that's hostile. But yet there's a world out there that's crying out, somebody tell me who God is. Somebody tell me who God is. Because people need to know, people want to know. We'll run into a lot that don't, but there's more that do than don't want to know who God is. May God help us to realize that we have that responsibility as children of God to share and to tell. I'm glad tonight to know I'm saved. I'm glad tonight to know that you're saved on the way to heaven. But let's be busy about letting people know that we know God. We know God. And we're glad that he knows us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you, dear God, that you've shown us, Lord, through the pages of history, through creation, through what you've done in our own lives. Lord, through many aspects, through many things, God, you showed us that you are God. God, help us, Lord, tonight to be busy trying to share this good news with other people as we go forth day after day. Bless your people this week, Lord. Give them, Lord, a song in their heart, a testimony on our lips. Lord, no matter where we go, who we may see, that you might give us the wisdom we need to share with someone how we know there is a God. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.